Open your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11 this morning as we continue our study from the Ten Commandments through the book of Exodus. And here we are, the fourth commandment today. Exodus chapter 20, as you turn there, please join with me as we ask God's blessing on the reading and preaching of His word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your law. Help us to delight in it. We pray that You would send Your Spirit to teach us Your law, that not only would we know it in our minds, but that we would cherish and love it from our hearts. We pray that as we learn from the fourth commandment today, that we would see the day that You have appointed as a great blessing to us for our edification, for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord this morning, Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Amen? What we celebrate, we value. Our celebrations are very informative about those events and people that we value. When I worked in the state of Florida and someone would retire, especially if they had been there for a number of decades, the director of the department and division would throw a big retirement party for that person. Why did they do it? Not only to celebrate their accomplishment of enduring so many years in the state of Florida, but also because we value that person and their contribution to the team. Why is a wedding ceremony so often followed by what? A wedding reception. And a wedding reception is to do what? It's a celebration of two families joining together and becoming one because we value the institution of marriage and we value those persons who are taking those vows and starting new. We celebrate anniversaries together because we value our marriage, we value our spouse. We have birthday parties because we value the persons whom we're celebrating, remembering their gift, life that God has given them. We celebrate the 4th of July. It's coming up here, Memorial Weekend, right? We're celebrating moments in time and history and people who've done remarkable and extraordinary things for our country because we value. Not only do we participate in these celebrations, but we encourage and teach others to do the same. And how many of you mothers know that moment when you have received and committed to that invitation to go to that party and, Lord willing, you're going to make every effort to have your kids there, no matter how much they scream and fuss about getting dressed properly, you are going to take them and you are going to teach them that it's proper and right to celebrate people because you value them. They are important. Holiday meals. Big deals are made of a holiday meal. The china comes out of the cabinet. Menus are planned in advance. Hours of preparation, cooking, making those meal plans, and inviting guests and family members, making sure all the sides are taken care of, making sure all the desserts are taken care of. Because it is important for us to celebrate together because we value the blessings of God and the people that He's put in our lives. As we consider the Sabbath day, I want you to see this morning that the Sabbath is a day of celebration. The Sabbath is a day of celebration. It is a day for ice cream sundaes and cake. It's a day for pot roast out of the crock pot with all the fixings. is today for you to open up that china cabinet and to bring out grandma's good china that you think that you're never allowed to use except on Christmas and Easter, pull it out on Lord's Day and put it on the table. It's a day to use those fancy glasses with those little, what are they called, the stems, you know, that you don't let the kids drink out of or touch but once or twice a year. The Sabbath day is a day to pull those glasses out and to use them. It's a day for us to gather and celebrate with other Christians. It's a day for us to lift up our voices to the Lord. Why? Because the Sabbath is a day of celebration. We celebrate what we value. God has given us innumerable blessings. Just try to recount them. Life and health, family, grace, love, mercy, a home, a car to drive. All these things come to us by God's fatherly hands, his loving hands, and the Sabbath is a day of celebrating God's blessings. As I tell my kids, many Sunday afternoons, you probably heard me talk about this, we have Sundays on Sunday, ice cream Sundays on Sunday, and we have a little thing in the cabinet, we pull it out, and it's got sprinkles and chocolate chips and chocolate syrup in it sometimes and all kinds of stuff. And we get all the stuff out on the kitchen island, and all the kids gather around, and they're jumping up and down as I am scooping out ice cream, fixing them Sundays on Sunday. And I look at them and tell them that we're doing this because Sunday is the sweetest day of the week. The Sabbath is a day of celebration. And the fourth commandment here is a call from God to celebrate his many blessings. And before we consider how we are to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the fourth commandment instructs us to do, you see it there in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We're called by God to do that. And I'm sure you have all kinds of questions of how we are to do that. How? How do we remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? Keep all of your how questions and bring them next week. I don't want to talk to you about how this morning. I want to talk to you about why. I want you to see this morning why we celebrate the Lord's Day. Why it is such a blessing to us. I want to give you three reasons this morning why the Sabbath is a day of celebration. Three reasons this morning. One reason from this text, two in other places of Scripture that we'll see that are connected to this text. All right, so number one, why is the Sabbath a day of celebration? Number one, the Sabbath is a day of celebration to celebrate God's work of creation. The Sabbath is a day of celebration to celebrate God's work of creation. Did you see that here in the text? Look at your Bibles again. Look at verse 8. Look down there at your Bibles. What's the command that God gives here in the fourth commandment? Do what? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The first time in the book of Exodus we saw that word remember is back, I think it's in chapter 2. Remember the Israelites? They have come under the cruel tyranny of Pharaoh. They are suffering incredibly. Pharaoh has instituted a campaign to reduce the population of Israelites in Egypt. He is literally trying to work the Israelites to death so that some of them will die. And he is killing off some of their firstborn sons for a period of time. And what do the Israelites do? But they cry out to the Lord. Remember what happens to their prayers? Their prayers do what? Their prayers come up to God, and God comes down in response to deliver them. But there's an interesting phrase there that mentions that God did what? When he heard their prayers, God did what? He remembered. I was talking with the kids last night at home, and I said, raise up your finger. And I said, remember. And I pointed to your head. I had all the kids do that. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Had God forgotten Israel? Had he forgotten that there were promises that he had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Had God forgotten that he had promised to give Abraham's family the land of Canaan as the promised land? Had God forgotten about all of this? No, God hadn't forgotten. The remembering is God's initiating action to carry out and fulfill his promises. So in the book of Exodus, God is remembering unto action. As we look at the fourth commandment, God is instructing the Israelites. He's saying, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's not just a matter of forgetfulness. It's a matter of what? Observance. He is calling the Israelites to do something. The other commandments, they're only all eight commandments command the Israel what not to do. But two commandments tell them what to do. This is one of those commandments. They are to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why? Why are they to do that? Look down at verse 11. Look there in your Bibles. The why is given. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in it, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Interesting. God is referencing here creation. He's going back to Genesis 1 and 2. He's recounting, he's summarizing creation, and he roots or grounds the observance of the Sabbath day in creation. And think about Genesis chapter 1. Think about each day of creation. God made the light, and what did he do on day one? He made the light, and he saw that it was what? He saw that it was good. He made the expanse below, the above, the expanse below, and he looked back at the end of the second day, and he saw that it was good. He made the vegetations, the plants, the green beans, the tomato plants. He made the fruit trees, cherry trees, and apple trees, orange trees. Planted them in Florida. Peach trees. He planted the first peach tree in the state of Georgia. Okay? He looked on all his good creation, and what did the Lord say about it? He said it was good each day. He made the animals. He made the eagles. He made the sharks that swim in the ocean. He made the whales. He made the dolphins. He made the lions. He made the giraffes. He made all these things. And he looked at each day and he said, it was good. And then on the sixth day, he created man. He created man, male and female, in his image. He created them. He instituted the family there in marriage. He planted a garden in Eden and gave them stewardship over it. He looked over all his creation after he created man. And what did God say on the sixth day? He didn't say it was good. He said what? It was very good. It was very good. God looked over all his creation and it was very good. Now let me just ask you a question. After all that work, was God tired? Did he expend energy? And if you see me at the end of a work day, you might say, the pastor is tired. If you see me at the end of a vacation, you might say, the pastor is tired. And God had done all this work, creating all of the universe, including us. It was all very good. What does he do on the seventh day? He rested on the seventh day. Here he is, he's looking and beholding his good creation, and he's looking all of it, and he is admiring it. And then he takes one day out of the six that he created, and he sanctifies that day. He sets it apart. All the creation was good. Remember, Genesis says that. All the creation was good. But then, one day out of six it's not just good, it's what? It's holy. He sets that day apart. It's the exclamation point on creation. And then he institutes this one day, setting it apart, and he calls mankind to follow after his pattern. They are to imitate God. They are to have dominion. They are to steward God's good creation. They are to do their work in 6 days. But on the seventh day, they are to do what? They are to consider it holy. They're to sanctify it. They're to set it apart. They are imaging the work of their Creator. Have you ever considered that for a moment? When you remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, you are doing what God did all the way back to the beginning of creation. That is why we celebrate the Lord's Day. We are celebrating what? God's work of creation. Just think about Israel in slavery in Egypt. Think about them. They are slave labor. They are gathering straw and making bricks in mud pits. They feel the whip of the taskmasters against their back. They are being restricted and kept from their families as they are going off on all these building campaigns. Think about all that they built for Pharaoh and for the Egyptians. Monuments and palaces and pyramids, perhaps. They're building all these things, and they're never given a moment to appreciate the architecture. They build temples that they are never given an opportunity to worship in. They are building palaces and homes they're never given an opportunity to live in. It is all work and no enjoyment. Get back to work, Israel. Here's some scraps. Go on to the next building project. Go make another brick. Get back to work. Get back to your tasks. Moses reminded Israel this in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5, the Ten Commandments are taught a second time by Moses. And when the fourth commandment is taught in Deuteronomy chapter 5, it's been changed. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and you go, why? What's the why question? It's not creation. It's what? You shall remember that you were slaves in Egypt, Deuteronomy 5. They are to remember that they never had an opportunity to take a break. They are to remember that they never had a chance to enjoy the work of their hands like God did. So God is instituting the Sabbath day for them as a blessing to them because he is bringing them into a land flowing with milk and honey, and he wants them to enjoy the good creation that he's giving them. Sabbath day is a day of celebration. You might think to yourself, well, I'm thankful for God's creation. I'm thankful for his blessings. Well, if I could make a 90s reference here to America's Funniest Home Videos, if we could follow you around with a camcorder for a day and display your day for all the world to see, how would we know that you are thankful for God's blessings? How would we know? You might say, well, listen, Pastor, I don't have any blessings to celebrate in my life. I've gone through hardships. I've experienced sadness. Let me just recount for you the blessings that you have. Did you ever think about the air that you breathe as a blessing from God? The life that you've been given is a blessing from God. Friends, children, home, a car, clothing, a job. All these things are blessings from what? The Father's loving hands that he gives to us. A couple of Sundays ago, we were having Sundays on Sunday. Tell my kids, Sunday is the sweetest day of the week. And I looked at them and I said, kids, have you ever considered why God gave you taste buds? God gave you taste buds so you could enjoy the pleasure of eating this delicious ice cream and all the toppings. You ever think about that? We don't need taste buds, do we? Not to eat. It sure makes it a lot more enjoyable, doesn't it? All these are gifts from God's gracious hand. And the Sabbath day is a day to celebrate God's good work of creation. It is a day for us to recognize and celebrate and rejoice in all the blessings that we see around us that God's given to us. That's one. It's the first reason. Number one, why do we celebrate the Lord's Day. Why do we celebrate the Sabbath day? Because we are celebrating God's work of creation. Number two, not only are we celebrating God's work of creation, but number two, the Sabbath is a day to celebrate God's work of redemption. Not just God's work of creation, but God's work of redemption. We already get a hint at this in Deuteronomy chapter 5. What does the Lord reference in Deuteronomy chapter 5 in the teaching of the fourth commandment? He tells them, you are to remember that you were slaves. And not just that you were slaves, but that the Lord did what? That he redeemed you. That he saved you. That he delivered you. When Israel, when you observe the Sabbath day and you keep it holy, you are remembering the good work that God has done, not only in the creation, but creating a people for himself. That he redeemed you and bought you as his own. You are remembering, just as God sanctified the Lord, the day, the Sabbath day, the seventh day, and sanctified it and made it holy, he has made you, Israel, a holy people unto himself. The Sabbath is a day of celebration. And Scripture speaks about the Sabbath day using a kind of, if you could, for lack of a better term, a kind of sacramental language in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 31, 13. We'll get to Exodus 31 in about 250 sermons. Exodus 31, 13 speaks of the Sabbath. Listen to this. Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a, listen to the word here, a sign. Wait, the Sabbath day is a sign? Yeah, the Sabbath day is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. Isn't that interesting? So just as Israel sees that God sanctified the seventh day and set it apart as holy, Israel is observing the Sabbath day as a sign that God had sanctified them. It is a day to celebrate God's work of redemption. Isn't that interesting? Like all the sacraments of the Old Testament church, the Sabbath day is a sign pointing to God's promises, to God's word, and ultimately pointing to whom? Pointing ahead to Christ. Listen to Colossians chapter 2, 16 through 17. Colossians 2, 16 through 17 reads, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to festival or new moon, or, listen to this, Sabbath. Ceremonial law being referenced here. So Paul's saying in Colossians chapter 2, don't let anyone pass judgment on you in these things. Why? Listen to what he says. These are a shadow of things to come. So they were pointing ahead to a work to come, pointing ahead to God's promises, letting you know that God's promises were going to be fulfilled at a certain point of time. Each time they sacrificed an animal or went to the temple or kept the Passover or the Feast of Booths, all of these things were pointing ahead to the work of Christ. Paul says in Colossians 2, they foreshadowed things to come. What's the thing, Paul? Listen to what he says, Colossians 2. The substance, or the essence of what was foreshadowed here, Paul says, belongs to Christ. So all of the Old Testament law, all the celebrations, all of the Sabbaths for the Old Testament church were pointing ahead to whom? Pointing ahead to Christ. One commentator writes, in Christ is to be found, listen to this, all the treasures of spiritual reality and fulfillment foreshadowed in the Old Testament. To discover all that God has for his people in these last days, one must be in Christ, and that is all. Don't you love that? So every Sabbath day that Israel was observing, they were anticipating the ultimate work of God's redemption, when Christ would come and accomplish an extraordinary work, providing all that they needed to live eternally. And just as God the Father, after his work of creation, looked on each day and saw that it was good and recognized that it was finished, so too our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross can look at his work of redemption and say what? It is finished. And be pleased and rest in it. I want you just to think for a moment and realize all that God has given us in his good creation that is necessary for life. Just think about everything that makes life possible on this earth. The sun to warm us, food that grows from the ground to feed us, tasty cattle and pigs to feed us, chickens for Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches. God has made all of these things possible for us. He planned it all. The oxygen, the atmosphere, the rotation of the universe, the days, the years, the Earth's rotation around the sun. All of these things are absolutely necessary in order for life to be possible here upon Earth. And those of you who are scientifically minded much more than I am, you can regale us with the accounts of what makes life absolutely necessary, even to the atomic level. God has planned all of that meticulously in his good work of creation. How much more so has God planned and provided everything necessary for our salvation? Just think about that for a moment. He knew we would need forgiveness, and so Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He planned redemption before he planned creation, perhaps. Or when he was planning creation, he also planned our redemption. He knew we needed edification, and so God planned and gave us the means of grace, the sacraments, the preaching of the word. He knew we would need enduring revelation, and so he has given us his word. Every spiritual need that we have, God has planned and provided for and created for us in Christ. And they are ours in Christ. The Sabbath is a day of celebration, and we can sing like that beloved hymn, "All I have need of, thy what? Hands have provided." Why? "Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Have you ever wondered why we worship on Saturday, on Sunday and not Saturday? It's because of God's work of creating our redemption. Christ did what? What day did he resurrect from the dead? What day did he come up out of the grave? Which day? We have 7 days a week. And which day? Numbered day. Wrong. The eighth day. He rose again on the eighth day. It's the new day of creation, as foretold in the Old Testament. And so Christ rose again on the eighth day, which was the first day of the week, right? 3 days later, he rose again on the eighth day to give us the first day. Makes perfect sense to me. It's really good theology. Mathematically, it doesn't equate, but theologically, it is dead on. It's a dead ringer, okay? Christ is referred to as the what? Firstborn of all creation. Salvation is described as a new kind of creation. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus in John chapter 3? What did Nicodemus have to do? He had to be what? Born again. And Nicodemus says, "How is this possible? I can't enter into my mother's womb a second time." And what Jesus is saying is, you have to be recreated. The work of redemption must be applied to your heart. What is dead inside of you because of sin must be called to new life and recreated. Great Presbyterian theologian Charles Hodge writes, "If the creation of the material universe should be kept in perpetual remembrance, how much more the new creation secured by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I love that. The Sabbath is a day of celebrating, not only of celebrating God's work of creation, but more importantly, celebrating God's work of what? Redeeming us, saving us, and setting us apart as his own people. And the New Testament church did just that. As we read the New Testament, what day did they gather? Just go and read the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20, I think it is. They gathered when? On the first day of the week. They gathered together for the breaking of bread. Probably a reference there in Acts 20 to communion. Paul tells the Colossians, or the Corinthians, to do what? To set apart an offering for what? The first day of the week. Revelation chapter 1, the Apostle John, he's on the island of Patmos, and he receives a revelation from God, which concludes with the recreation of all that sin has corrupted. Some of you, the light bulb just went off, right? Revelation ends with the new creation. Christ returns, and there's this new creation. Everything that sin has corrupted and destroyed becomes restored for all eternity. And John receives this great revelation on what? He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Sabbath is a day of celebration, a day to celebrate not only God's work of creation, but most importantly, God's work of redemption. And lastly, I want you to see here the third thing that we're celebrating on the Lord's day. Not only creation and redemption, but also eternal salvation. We are celebrating eternal salvation. We don't have time to look in depth at Hebrews chapter 4, but you should. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about how the saints of God need to persevere in their faith. And how God has appointed a Sabbath rest for them. And that through Christ, the greater Israel, through Christ, the greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ has come. He's accomplished everything necessary for our salvation. And when we are in Christ, we are in a Sabbath rest. And yet, the author of Hebrews says, there is yet a day remaining. Like, wait a minute. I thought you just said that there's a Sabbath rest in Christ. And the author of Hebrews says, yes, there is. But then what are you saying that there's yet another day? Well, he's looking ahead to that eternal rest when God the Holy Spirit completes his work, not just here on earth, but in our lives. Edifying the church, strengthening the church, enabling the church to persevere until we arrive on the shores of Jordan, on the other side of the Jordan River. And we arrive into the promised land. Where? Not the land of Canaan, but for all eternity, enter into heaven. The Sabbath is a day of celebration. The Sabbath is a little foretaste of that. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. Any of you here smoke meat? Some of you do. And if you have a Traeger, let us know, because we want to come to your house at some point. And those of you who smoke meat, you will make all this preparation. You'll heat up the Traeger. You'll get the perfect cut of brisket. You will season it. See, Travis is not the only pastor in this church who uses food analogies in a sermon, okay? If he can use one in every sermon, I can use one from time to time, too. People who smoke brisket, they'll find the perfect cut of meat. They'll find a perfectly aged cut of meat. They will season it. And then they'll do what? They'll fire up the Traeger. They'll take it out there. They'll put it on the Traeger. For how long? To all eternity. You're going to be eating at midnight at some point. The children are beginning to look famished. Moods have changed in your house. People are wondering, Dad, when are we going to eat? When is the food going to be ready? The smell of brisket is filling the aroma of the house. It's the best thing you've ever smelled in your life. And you are wondering, when is this meal going to be ready? Now, here's what a good man will do. And sit up, friends. A good man will take a meat fork and a knife, and he will open up that Traeger and peel back that foil, and he'll do what? He'll cut off a juicy slice. And he'll say, here you go. Eat this. This is a foretaste of the meal that awaits you at some point on this day. You know what the Sabbath day is? It is God cutting off a little piece of heaven and reaching down and giving it to us and saying, I want you to taste how sweet this is. This is just a little foretaste, a little sample of what God has planned for you and I when we meet with Him and spend all eternity in our Sabbath rest with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sabbath is a day of celebration because it's a foretaste of what's to come. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that the day that you have sanctified for us would not be burdensome. We pray that the day that you have sanctified for us would be a day that we approach with great joy. Help it to be a delight to us. Help it to be to us a day of celebration. Cause within our hearts a desire to celebrate all the good work that you have done on our behalf. We ask and pray these things in Jesus' name.